Chapter 1. I was running through the forest, running on all fours, huge tawny paws touching down so lightly they seemed to skim the ground. Yet somehow my pursuers were catching up. The pounding of their boots was so close, I swore my tail switched against them as I ran. I couldn't keep this up. Cougars are sprinters, not distance runners. I had to get into the brush, up a tree, someplace, any place where I could hunker down, invisible, until they passed, and then a dart hit my shoulder. I reared back, snarling, clawing. Maya? Hands gripped my front legs. No, not legs. Arms. I saw hands wrapped around my wrists, a familiar face in front of mine, wavy blonde hair in need of a brush, blue eyes underscored with dark circles, wide mouth tight with worry and exhaustion. Daniel? He released my wrists. Corey's voice sounded to my left.
Guys? Causing a bit of a scene here.
I looked around to see strangers staring. A man in a button-down shirt was making his way over, gaze fixed on us. Behind him was a counter stacked with books. In front of me was a computer, while Corey was seated at another beside me. A library. We were in a library. A man walked over.
Is there a problem here?
He was looking at me, and I wasn't sure why, until he shot a glare at Daniel, and I realized how it must have looked, him holding my wrists as I struggled. No, I said. We were just goofing around.
Not the right thing to say in a library. Even Corey, the king of goofing around, winced.
I'm sorry, Daniel said. It won't happen again.
As he spoke, he held the librarian's gaze and kept his voice low, calm, using his powers of persuasion. With Daniel, it really is a power. I don't think the librarian needed it, though. He seemed content to leave us be. But the incident had caught the attention of people around us, and, under the circumstances, we really couldn't afford to make ourselves memorable. So we left. Quickly.
Well, Corey said as we tramped down the front steps, it's not the first time we've had to leave a library, but it is the first time I wasn't responsible.
I was having a vision, I said. I can't control those.
No, Maya. Unless you snore during your visions, you were asleep.
I don't snore. I looked at Daniel. Tell him I don't snore.
Daniel feigned great interest in the fountain. Corey didn't ask how Daniel would know if I snored.
Daniel and I had been best friends since kindergarten. Though our parents had decided sleepovers required separate rooms years ago, we'd spent the last few days sleeping side by side as we trekked through the wilds of Vancouver Island. Not a voluntary hiking trip either. A helicopter crash had left us stranded with Corey and three other friends. That helicopter had been supposedly rescuing us from a forest fire that threatened our town, but it had actually been kidnapping us. Now, less than a week later, we were in the city of Vancouver, only three of us left, the others captured by the people we were still fleeing.
You were exhausted, Daniel finally said. Corey and I slept on the ferry. You didn't. I would have let you keep sleeping, but the snoring was getting kind of loud. I aimed a kick at him. He grabbed my foot and held it, making me dance and curse. A passing security guard shot us a warning look. Holy hell, Corey said. It's a sad day when I'm the responsible one. Speaking of responsibility, I'm going to take the reins of leadership and suggest food. It's nearly 8. Maya, use that cat nose and lead us to dinner.